preachers, good to be in the Lord's house tonight. And I'm very grateful to be here. And I'm getting used to the area. The Lord moved us here to the upstate just a few months ago, so I don't really know where I'm at, but I am glad to be here. And I enjoyed that good singing tonight. Wasn't that tremendous singing? The choir, boy, just setting the mark, and not just for the good singing and the songs, but for the way they sing them. Well, that's a blessing, isn't it? And there are some choirs, and your pastor and you preachers agree, sometimes you want to go up there and just maybe find the power switch and just hook them in. And but that choir was hooked in singing tonight. I thoroughly enjoyed that. And again, I'm honored to be here. I apologize to those that were coming to hear Brother Rackley. I'll be honest with you. And I would be disappointed too. But anyway, the Lord knows. And we're praying for him. I told Brother Barry it's too mean for any sickness to jump on him. So I don't know what's wrong with him. And Brother Barry is God's man. And I know I believe he's preached here before. And many of you know him. I don't just say this because he's my friend, mentor, and hero. But I do believe that God has his hand on him greatly to help churches in these last days. And I am an advocate for revival. I don't believe God's done. I know God's not dead. I know. And I don't believe God's done. And I know God can do some great, mighty things. And if we allow him to do that. Just again, very grateful to be here. I want to mind the Lord. And whatever part the Lord will allow me to have this week, I'm grateful for it. Love his family. Love the Rochester family. And the Lord, I guess several years ago, we met at Brother Rackley's youth camp. And man, God just worked them into my heart. And I'm glad that God crossed their paths. Really, I'm here just to try, and I said this earlier, they need help. Macy Rochester is the meanest youngin' in Spartanburg County. And so, no, she's not. Love this family. And just glad God crossed our paths together. Psalm 142 tonight. Psalm 142 will be our text verse on this evening. And the Lord, really, I think about revival. I think about the need, and only God knows the need. I don't really know what everybody needs tonight, but I know who we need. We need the Lord. And I don't know what your heart, where your heart's at, if it's need of revival or stirring or help. But I do know this, if God don't give the help, we ain't going to get none. I was talking to my pastor right before we pulled in. I was talking to the preacher, and I told him, I said, one thing I do know is if he don't help us, we ain't going to get no help. That might not be real deep, but that's true. If he don't do the work, then we'll go through the end of the week and we'll be just like we were. And but I need help tonight. I want God to take me to another spiritual level in my life. And we're in some unusual days, aren't we? We're in some wicked days and trying days. There are things that we're seeing every day out in our, and not in, you know, California, not in New York, but we're seeing them in our area. And but I'm glad greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That's still in our Bible. Matter of fact, the Bible said we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. And I don't really know if I understand all that about being more than a conqueror, but I know I want to be one. And great for God's goodness. Looking forward to being here, bringing our good bit of our church is coming on Friday night. And so we're excited about that, praying for great things. Psalm 142, if you will, can we stand for just a moment? If you're able to do that, let's stand. And tonight, and we'll read the Word of God together. And just give us a chance to stretch our legs. A lot of times folks get nervous. That must mean that's a long-winded preacher, but we'll just mind the Lord, all right? Psalm 142, we'll begin our reading in verse 1. God's just had my heart in this psalm all day. The Bible said in verse number 1, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Verse 5, he said, I cried unto the Lord. He has got to a point where he now turns And it says, I cried unto the Lord, and I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Verse 7 is where God has really dealt with my heart. The Bible said, bring my soul out of prison. Notice how he worded that. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I ask that you'd pray with us again tonight. Father, I want to thank you for being so good to us. I want to thank you for your love and your mercy. God, how you've just helped us throughout the day. And God, I'm glad tonight that, Lord, you have a desire. God, you had a plan this week. God, you know all these details and how you're working it out. God, your desire is to help us. And God, to help your church, to help your pastor. God, I pray that, God, you do some life-changing work. God, I pray that everything that needs to be exposed, may it be exposed. Everything needs to be dealt with, God, may you deal with it. Then, God, I pray that there'd be a balm in Gilead. May there be a healing that'll take place this week among your people. God, tonight, I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know about the next days, but I know that you've given us tonight. And God, I need you tonight more than I've ever needed you. God, I need you tonight more than the first time you let me preach your book. And God, I pray that you'd touch my heart. God, give me illumination. God, open our eyes to the text. And God, may you fill us with your power. I need you, Father. And God, for all that you do, we'll be careful to give you all the glory. God, all glory unto you. And it is in that wonderful name of the Son of God do we pray and ask these things. Amen and amen. 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 Looking at our text tonight, I want to just kind of walk through this psalm for just a little bit and get a little bit of understanding. We know that David is the penman of this psalm. God allows David, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, to pen this. When David begins Psalm 142, his life is not a bed of roses. As a matter of fact, at reading this, you find this a very burdened time, a very pressed time. At the time of writing, Saul has now launched an all-out attack against David. We know this, that in 1 Samuel chapter number 16, David's anointed. And it's in that chapter that there's a promise that David's going to be the king, and he is going to be the one that's going to succeed after Saul. And but in between the time that David's anointed till the time that David takes the throne, there are some battles in David's life. I have to wonder this as we just get our will. I have to wonder, is there ever a time in which David says, I never thought things would be this way? Maybe David wonders, I never thought I would face this battle or things would be this hard. Sometimes in the Christian life, you find out that things are a little bit harder than we thought they were. May I remind you tonight that we're not in a world that is on our side. The world is against us. Amen. And the devil is against us. Because you're saved, does it mean that everything's going to go smooth in your life? Somebody say amen right there. It doesn't mean that everything is always going to be seemingly in our favor. But I want to remind you this. It does mean that everything I go through, I will go through it with my Lord and with my Savior. When he promised that he would be that friend that sticketh close and a brother, there may be some difficult times. There may be some valleys. There may be some battles. But thanks be unto God, I'll never go through it alone. I'll never face it apart from him. For he is with us all way unto the end. So David gets a hold of that truth in this psalm. I notice here in Psalm 142, David has now fled. And the Bible teaches us he has found his lodging in a cave. I want you to notice the text again. The Bible said in verse number 1, I noticed David's cry unto God. The Bible said, I cried unto the Lord. David said, I've got to a place in my life where I am crying out to God Almighty. That word crying here means that David now is making an audible sound to God Almighty. He is not privately praying. He is not privately seeking God. But he's gotten to a place where he's so burdened for help. The Bible said that he cries out to God. May I remind you tonight that there are some days when the burdens that we're carrying, it's not just those inward pains, but it'll cause us to cry out to God Almighty.
David said, I've gotten so overwhelmed with where I'm at. I can't hold it back anymore. And I found me a little place somewhere where I can call upon God. And I know this ain't real deep, this real simple tonight, but I'm telling you, if you are going to make it in 2020, you're going to have to learn that I got to a place and David said, here is my cry, I'm overwhelmed. And he begins to make that cry to God. It tells us once again, I'm trying to get beyond this, but it tells us again about that relationship. I'm glad that I have a relationship with my Heavenly Father. I'm glad to be in my Father's house tonight. You can go ahead and let your hair down and just fit right in and feel good about being in. You say, preacher, I got some problems. You're in the right place. I've got some difficulties. You're in the right place. I've got some burdens. You're in the right place because there's a man named Jesus who's in the business of helping us with our burdens and our problems. I can promise you this, you know, Brother Rochester, he may be able to walk by some people and not stop. I mean, busy days and busy lives, and you can't help everybody. But I guarantee you this, you let that little girl back there call out, does she call you daddy? Is that what she calls you? I promise you this, if she calls out daddy, then it's going to feel like that little girl, because she's probably the favorite, say amen right there, but she calls out, and brother, he's going to stop everything. And I'm glad, thank God, that God is not too busy for me. He's not too occupied for me. But he'll move heaven and earth to get to one of his youngest. And God gladly hears the cry of his children. Amen. Let's move on. I find in verse number 2. The Bible said in verse number 2, he cried in verse 1. But then notice the wording. He alliterates it in itself. He said this in verse 2. I poured out my complaint before him. And I showed before him my trouble. In other words, he's saying, God, now I'm bringing this to you. I'm showing this. Now, can I say this? God knows where I'm at tonight. And God knows where you're at tonight. God knows the groceries that's in your cupboard. You don't have to. God knows how much beans you got in the cupboard. Say amen right there. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows how bad you feel. He knows how heavy your load is. But there's an act of faith. When I come to God, I say, God, this is where I'm. When I let God, when I bring my complaints to Him, when I bring my burden to God, what I'm saying is this, God, I believe that you can handle my problem. But notice what he said. He uses that word complaint. He's crying in verse 1, but he's complaining in verse 3. Can I say this, shout of God? If we're not careful, then there'll be days when our cries will become complaints. This is Spartanburg County, right? I mean, Spartanburg. I don't know how it is in Spartanburg County, but I found this out in Greenville County. Nobody wants to hear your complaining. Because they feel like, you know, if they hear your complaining, then it's got to be both ways. You got to turn that thing around. Isn't it amazing how quickly that sometimes, if we're not careful, that which we're burdened about can almost become a complaint. Lord, you're not taking care of me as good as you're taking care of somebody else. Yeah. Now, I'm going somewhere in this moment. David said, he said, but notice where God got David to a place where he had to get. Notice where he had to get. He said in verse number 2, I poured out. David said, God poured me out. Amen. David said, this thing got so big. And I met with God. And when I met with God, God let me pour everything that was in. God can't put anything in you when you're full. And sometimes God lets some things. I believe this. Somebody said, well, God won't put more on you than you can. Don't cut me off right here. Somebody said, well, preacher, God won't put more on you than you can bear. Oh, no, friend. God won't put more on you than he can bear. And sometimes the burdens of life get so heavy and what we're doing gets so big and you realize I'm not sufficient. I can't handle this. I can't go any further. But when you realize what you can't do, hey, you're a prime candidate to find out there's nothing that God can't do. You say, preacher, I don't have the answers. Well, God does. I don't have the faith. Well, God does. I don't see the end, but God does. And God's trying to turn our faith and realize for everything that you're not, I'm glad that God is able. Amen. Now consider verse 3, moving right along to get where we're going. In verse 3, he makes a confession. Notice, He said, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. David uses that word overwhelmed. That word overwhelmed carries the picture of one that is tossing and turning, and every time they feel like they're about to get ahead, every time they feel like they're about to get ahead above water, it feels like it begins to turn. Has anybody ever felt like it's out of my control? Miss Jenny, my mother called me a week ago today. And my mama walked me through. Now, my mama's a godly lady, loves God. I hope she's able. She's planning on being here Friday night. And my mother loves God. I mean, the prayerless woman, I know she, right now, she's praying for a preacher, boy. I promise you that. And my mama loves God. And Brother Rochester, my mama, she called me on Monday a week ago. And mama began to explain some things that go in our family. And she walked through, and I'll mention this again in just a little bit. She walked through these things, and her health problems and daddy's health problems and what was going on with one child and another child and a grandchild. And I'm telling you, as mama's telling me this, the thoughts going through my mind, mama, how in the world are you continuing to go? How in the world are you still able to say, I believe God? And it became very evident after talking to mama for just a little bit. The only reason she's staying going is because she's learned something about getting her burdens to God. I'm telling you that, mama, you might not be able to reach your children, but you can get your children to God. You might not be able to fix that family member, but you can get them to God. You may not be able to turn this thing around, but you can get it to God. And there's a God who can and will still help us. Overwhelmed. Have you ever been overwhelmed before? Sure we have. Think about the feebleness of it. He said in verse 3, while I'm overwhelmed, in the way wherein I've walked, have they privately let a snare for me. David said that while I'm going through this, he said there are people out there who are hoping that this will be the end of me. And everybody ain't pulling for you. But can I tell you something tonight? Thank God there's a church on the side of the road that's pulling for you. I want to go a little bit further. Thank God there's a man of God here at Morning Star Baptist Church, and he's pulling for you. Somebody say amen right there. But even above all of that, thank God there's a God in heaven, hallelujah, who's pulling for you and I, who's giving us what we need and encouraging us. There might be somebody against you, but thank God there's a God that is for you. Amen. Now think about this for just, David said, here I am, I'm overwhelmed, and the enemy is watching. Can I say something tonight? The enemy is watching how you and I respond to what we're going through. Now, I don't know you. I don't know what you're facing. This may not be for you tonight, but I'm telling you that while you're going through adversity and while you're facing your battles, do what the devil's doing. The devil is making sure that somebody is watching you. And the enemy is hoping, I sure do hope that this one takes some. Help me, Lord. Remember, let's run a rabbit right here. If we ever look for somebody to fall, we ought to be checking up about our own spirituality. And we better be very quick tonight to, before we pass judgment on how they're handling their difficulty, because the very next week it just might be you and I. We Baptists have learned the gift of everybody's got one in the crowd. They've got that person's learned the gift of discouragement. Amen. David said, God is for me, but there are those against me. I find in verse number 4, David said, I'm companionless. I looked on my right hand, and behold, there is no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared my soul. David said this. He said, it was in this time that those who I thought were my friends, I looked around, and they now have distanced themselves from me. They have now joined that crowd that'll stand back and say this, well, if they were living right, they probably wouldn't be going through this. That sounds good. The problem is, you ain't got no Bible for it. Somebody help me now. Somebody said, well, if you live for God and you do right and all those kinds of things, and if you're doing what you're, then you're not going to face difficult. The problem is the Apostle Paul was a godly man. The Apostle Paul served God. The Apostle Paul was faithful. And the Apostle Paul faced difficulty just like you and I do. And David said, as I look back, I'm amazed at the people who have turned on me. Oh my. I'm amazed at those who are trying to kick me when I'm down. Amen. Come here now. Can I just get honest with you? I feel pretty good at home, Brother Rothschild. I'm feeling good at home. Listen to me. There are going to be some days. I don't know why God told me to say this. There are going to be some days when your pastor's a spiritual man. Say amen right there. He loves God. But he's not a perfect man. He and Miss Jenny, as they're raising family and raising God, there are going to be some days where they're not going to be Superman. Come on now. There are going to be some days when they're going to have to go through it, but God has planted them here. He said, preacher, what are you getting at? When they go through that, don't criticize them, but you get behind your man of God. You pick your preacher's wife up. Don't join the crowd that hopes they'll fail. Don't join the crowd looking for them to fall. But be their support system. Pick them up and pray for them. And I promise you, God will bless you. David said, I don't understand it. He said, there were some folks I thought were for me, but I found out they weren't really for me. He's weeding them out. Don't forget that. Let's move on. He said in verse 5, in verse number 6, in verse 7, now God begins to work in his heart. Quickly, verse 5, I cried unto thee, O Lord, and said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. In the land of the living. Can I say it again? In the land of the living. David said, while I'm here, I know that you will be my portion. This is the same man who said this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He realized the same God that took care of him as a young shepherd boy. It's the same God taking good care of him as he begins to grow into this role. Can I say the same God that saved you? It's the same God that's going to feed you. It's the same God going to walk you through a valley. It's the same God calming your storms. He was good for mama. He's good enough for me. He was good for daddy. He's good enough for me. He was good for my preacher. He's good enough for me. And he'll still be good while the age is wrong. Verse number 6, God, attend unto my cry, for I'm brought very low. I'm humbled through this. Do you realize that when verse number 6, David admits something to us that probably God was working the entire time? Can I say sometimes God lets us go through something? It's not because God enjoys us having pain. It's not because God's looking to make us suffer. But sometimes God has to humble us. Why? Because God can't use us until he humbles us. Isn't that what it's about? Isn't that about being in a place where God can use us? And God can get the full glory out of us. Isn't that what it's all about? God using our life. Has it ever dawned on you that the God of heaven desires to use you? We don't have to come to church. We get to come to church. We don't have to sing in the choir. We get to sing in the choir. We don't have to preach the word of God. We get to preach the word of God. We don't have to come to God's house. We get to come to God's house. I'm telling you, God has been good to us. And if you remember what God did, then God will use your life. Verse 7 with me, notice some things. He begins to pray now to God, and notice the statement he makes. Bring my soul out of prison. Now, I know me, and I'm going through my mind, Pastor, I'm going through my mind, I'm thinking about difficulty, and I know what I want to pray. I want to pray, God, calm all the storms. I want to pray, God, get me out of what I'm going through. I want to pray, God, if you will, I want you to just make everything better. But now that David's talked to God, now that David's fellowship with God, now he makes a statement. He doesn't say, God, bring me out of prison. It's almost as if he's saying that where I'm at spiritually, it feels like a prison. was on the phone with a man today, Brother Rochester. His exact words, I ain't talking about the message, I ain't said a word to him. He said, "Preacher, I just feel like I'm bound up in an internal prison." I wonder if anybody tonight feels the same way. Could I say this? That if we're not careful, things can get into our heart and things get in our life. And though you're saved by God's grace and though you're going to heaven, it can feel like your soul is bound up and your soul is in prison. Here's what David was saying. He didn't say, "God, I want you to make everything better." He was saying, "God, if it doesn't get any better, I want you to help me. I want you to bring my soul out that I could still worship you and love you in spite of where I'm at." Now, David's in a cave now, and it's like David's saying this, "Lord, if my situation gets better, then wonderful, I'll praise you. But if my situation doesn't get any better, it'll be okay, God. I am still going to pray." Is it not a good enough God that when things go well, He deserves my praise? But when I go through a valley, He still deserves my praise. You say, "Preacher, I ain't glorified Him in a while. I ain't served Him in a while. I've had no joy in a while." It might be time out for you to pray, "Oh God, bring my soul out of prison, God." He's praying, "God, that even though..." Oh my, it's kind of like what those Hebrew boys were doing. They were in the fire, but the safest place for them to be was in the fire. Amen. And we pray, "God, deliver me. God, get me out." But may I remind you, He's not such a weak God that He can only give us joy on the mountaintops, but He's such a big God, He gives me joy in the valley. He gives me joy in the storm. He gives me joy through bad news. He gives me joy through the hardships of life. He is God, and God knows how to bring my soul out of prison. Now consider this. David prayed, "Lord, if you don't change my circumstances, God, I'm asking you to change me." You'll get to meet my wife and daughters, Lord willing, this week, and they'll be here. My son, my oldest daughter, at 5.5 years old, she was diagnosed with a rare disease, didn't understand it then, really ain't really got her mind wrapped around it all now. There's some difficulties and things. They're throwing out words like chemo and radiation and all those kinds of things to us to try to help her. And couldn't get no liberty on that. If you see her, you will have no idea anything was wrong with her because God's just had His hand on her for 12 and a half years now. God's taking good care of her. But I saw that to say this. When we're getting all this kind of news and we're hearing things, and Miss Jenny, we're hearing doctors say this, and we're hearing people say this, we're hearing all those things. And as we're hearing that, I'm thinking, "Lord, please touch my little girl. Lord, please. God, please don't take my little girl. God, I'm begging you, please work in this situation and help us." And I thought, I'm going to be honest with you, I'd love to tell you that I was some great warrior of faith, but my faith was awful weak. But I remember my wife, just a little while after she was diagnosed, getting in an altar. And here's what my wife prayed: "Lord, you love her more than we do anyway. Lord, she's not mine, but she's yours. Oh, help me, Lord." What my wife was praying, and when she said those words, I'm telling you, God put victory in her soul. And buddy, from that moment on, she had a peace with God and a faith in God that regardless of what God did, and she prayed, "God, whatever you do, I'm going to love you and I'm going to serve you." You say, "Preacher, what happened?" God got her soul out of prison. I can't tell you everything will be good tomorrow. I can't tell you the storm's going to calm down. I can't tell you going to get your way. But I can tell you that God is still good. When the waves crash high, He's good. And when the sun rises, God is good. When the sun goes down, God is good. And He will be faithful in my life and yours. I don't have to understand everything about tomorrow to trust God today. Now, if I could, David penned Psalm 142. If you study your Bible, then you find that the time frame is in between 1 Samuel 21 and 1 Samuel 22. I want to look for just a few moments at some blessings in disguise that David didn't see at the beginning of Psalm 142, but I believe David saw at the end of this psalm. I want you to notice, first of all, that it's in this psalm that God brings a band of men who God put into David's life. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel, let me turn there, 1 Samuel number 22. This is the setting of when David is now in the cave of Adullam. The Bible said in 1 Samuel 22, David therefore departed thence and escaped with the cave of Adullam. That's where he's at when he writes the psalm. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Say, preacher, what are you getting at? David goes into this psalm defeated. It is in this cave that God delivers his soul. By the time he comes out, God has brought together 400 men who are going to be with David from that day until David leaves this world. Now get a hold of this. Can I look at it two ways? First of all, David had to let God help him because there were some people coming to him who were going to need David to be at his best. You say, preacher, why do I need to get help tonight? Why do I need to let go? Why do I need to let go of something? Why do I need to get out of this prison in my... I'll tell you why. Because there's some children that you got to raise. There's a class you got to teach. There's a church you got to pastor. There's a work you got to do. You know what else I do? You cannot do that work fully until you let God help you with the burdens that you're carrying. My pastor was in Bible college, and he said one night Dr. Sattler stepped into class. Wasn't teaching that class. Dr. Sattler stepped into that class, Brother Rochester, and he told those men in that class, he said, I'm just telling you, men, he said, you are not going to make it unless you learn how to get to and give your burdens to God. Now, that might not be real deep right there to us, but if that ain't true, Miss Jenny, I don't know what is. Pastor, I don't know what is, because you, everything you've got to do, you can't do it in yourself. Those ones that are looking to you, those ones that need you. And David said, I've got to be able to pastor these men. I've got to lead these men. And God reached down that cave and God helped him and gave him victory so that the victory David had, those other men could enjoy it as well. But then think about this. It was in his most difficult time that God brings these men into his life. Thank God for those people that will stick by you through the thick and the thin. No doubt there's many of you here. You've been with the people of God. You've been with the church. You've seen through thick. You've seen through thin. You've seen through trial. You've seen through victory. And I'm here to tell you tonight that what God has done, he's established your soul. He's established your faith as a testimony that he is a God that is worth serving. For such a time as this has God brought us together. Can I give you this? David penned another psalm in Psalm 34, in this cave of Adullam. He penned Psalm 142, but he also pens Psalm number 34 in the cave of Adullam. You know what Psalm 34 says? Let me read it to you. David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Sounds like he let God get his soul out of prison, doesn't he? My brother, here's what he does. He gets there and he just purposes in his mind. And I'm going to tell you something now. You just got the purpose in your heart and mind. I'm going to magnify God. If nothing goes my way tomorrow, he deserves all the praise I can ever muster up. David said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. Ready? His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. The second verse says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear that. David said, you know what I did? When I didn't feel it, I went ahead and willed it. Don't raise your hand. Be honest, how many of you felt like coming to church tonight? I know you had to fight. You had to fight the world. You had to fight traffic. You might have had to fight your mother-in-law. I don't know. There's probably something you had to fight. I'm telling you. Here's what he said. I went ahead and kept pressing through. And as I kept pressing through, I went ahead and magnified God. And then something took place in my soul. I began to magnify him. And then my soul made her boast in thee. Now notice the third. Notice the next verse. Verse number 3 says this. Psalm 34 verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. I wonder who that us is. Who's he talking to? Those men have come to him. And those men have looked at their captain. And their captain has overcome. And then they hear their captain say, okay, men, I know it's bad. I know it's rough. I know it's dark. But he looks at those men and says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name. Can I say tonight, friend, that my captain has overcome. My captain's won the victory. My captain's led the charge. My captain's never failed. And it compels me to exalt him for his goodness in my life.
Amen. Amen.
Quickly, said, preacher, what does God do for David in the cave? He puts that band of men together. Secondly, in the cave, it is without engaging Saul that David ascends the throne. And tell you something tonight, battle's not yours. It's the Lord's. Amen. It's not yours. The reason you ain't got victory because it's not your battle. Amen. That's his battle. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thirdly, quickly, David learned that where I am should never determine what I am. I know. If we lean on the world, then what we are is not going to bring glory to him. Where I am, I don't know where you're at tonight. I said that about my mother a while ago. Brother Rochester, Mama said, here's what Mama said to me. She said, I just gave it to God. She turned over a child that's in sin, a child who's got terrible health conditions, a grandchild who had been locked up and all kinds of bad news. She turned over. She was dealing with sickness, and then my daddy was having physical problems. She turned all that over, and God was giving her her joy. And I'm thinking, I don't know that I could do that. I told my pastor about it, because here's what my pastor said. He said, sometimes giving something to God doesn't mean you don't care. It don't mean you don't care. It don't mean you don't care. Miss Jenny, it just means this. I can't handle it. And God's release valve for me is to put it in the hands of one who can. I don't know what you're trying to figure it out tonight, but you're probably not going to be able to figure it out. I don't know what you're trying to care tonight, but you can't care it by yourself. I'm telling you tonight, don't believe the lie that you are by yourself. He wants to help you. Last thing David gave us, and I'm about done. Lord's helped us tonight. Let me give you this. The last thing David gave us, Psalm 142, is this. That he resolves just to stay in his place and believe God a little bit longer. I don't see the throne yet, and I'm not being crowned king, and I'm still having to fight, and I'm still running from Saul. But in that cave of Adullam, God brought his soul out. And let's be honest tonight. More than we need help with our circumstances, we need help in our soul. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed. I want to begin the invitation. Pastor's going to come shortly. Pianist will come tonight. I don't know you tonight. I'm honored to get to be here and get to meet you this week. But I am telling you this tonight. You don't have to bear it alone. You don't have to bear it alone. Father, in Jesus' name, will you have your way tonight? God, will you help a soul tonight? Will you help a soul? And God, it's bigger than them, but it ain't bigger than you. And God, I'm bringing it to you tonight because you told me to. God, I'm glad you can carry it and you can bear the burden. God, will you help us now? Will you help us? God, get the glory in Jesus' name.